Yo, Alex, can I have some assistance with that table over there, please? Oh, thank you. So as I'm the children's minister, that means that I get to do all the fun things, so including tables. Could it be on this side, please? Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you, thank you. Okay, I have a bag full of fun things. Now, if anyone has not seen the Super Kid room right now, it is full. Wait. 1 second. There we go. It is full of ocean print paper and over 200 animals because we just wrapped up our Finding Jesus Under the Sea curriculum. So we learned all about how we have so many more blessings than we can even count, just like the number of starfish that are under the sea. We learned that even if we want to run and hide, like stingrays that hide underneath the sand, God's got us and we don't need to run and hide. We learned about how God has a purpose for us even when we're tiny, just like shrimp. Even when we're little, he still has a purpose. It's not just when we're old, right? But the big thing that we learned throughout the whole time was our memory verse. Our memory verse is Romans 8:39, and every single kid memorized it, which is the coolest thing ever. So I'm going to have them say it with me from their seats, and I want them to say it as loud as they can. So are all my super kids ready? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Isaiah. So 3, 2, 1, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. Good job, guys. I'm so proud of them. It was such an amazing time just to get to go over this week after week with them and then actually get it. And every single week I ask them, what does this mean? So today we're going to go over what it means. Now, I mentioned that I have a bag. It's a pretty fun bag. It's full of a lot of fun things, right? So I have a big pan. We'll see what that's for. I know, that's the most fun part right there. I have some wipes. That's going to come in clutch. I have a glass dish. That'll be used later. But then I have some really fun things. I have slime. Now, I know that all of our super kids really like slime. So I just thought that it was apt, you know? Does anyone know what color this is?
Purple.
Excellent. Does anyone know what color this is? Yellow, and this one's really cool because it has sparkles in it. So I love this one. Now, the purple, this one's gonna represent me, right? This is gonna represent me before I know Jesus. I'm purple. Purple's a little bit darker on the color wheel, so a little bit darker, me without Jesus. And then we got Jesus. He's the light of the world, so we got bright yellow for me. So now, what happens? One moment, please. The purple represents me before I knew Jesus. And so then this purple, this is me, right? I decide, hey, I want to be a Christian. I actually believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sins. So I'm now a Christian. And I'm saved because Romans 10:9-10 says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised me from the dead, or raised him from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart, one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation, right? So I'm saved. I'm living my best life. Now, what happens when I'm saved? What's next? Do I just stay purple? Well, Ephesians 2:4-9 says, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. That's going to be our key part right there. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So what that's saying? This purple guy did not do it in and of himself, right? I didn't make myself saved in and of myself. But in verse 5 we read, that even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. So what happens if I put the two colors together? That's what we're going to find out. So I got this purple. It's going to be fun. I'm telling you, this slime is like the goopiest slime I've ever felt in my life. But anything for the object lesson. So, yay, it all came out in one. I'm so proud. Okay, now we got Jesus over here. Jesus is gonna join my life. Look at how goopy it is. It's like a blizzard. Okay, I'm gonna mix this together. Right now they are wanting to stay purple and yellow. But do you think that they're gonna stay purple and yellow the whole time if I keep on combining them? No. What do you think's gonna happen? They're gonna turn a different color? Oh my goodness, Jody already knows what's up. Okay, let's see. See, I use smaller pieces at home, so they were able to mix a whole lot easier. It's working, it's trying. Give me a second. It's not actually as bad. When I did it with smaller parts, it was really goopy to the point that like I showed someone my finished piece and they automatically gagged. So this is not making me gag, and that's great. Okay. Gag means you went, oh, not having a good time with this one over here. Okay. Oh, this is taking so much longer. Okay. I need this to go all the way through in order for my lesson to work, so one moment, please. I may need some assistance. Yo, Andrew. I need some assistance with this. Thanks. Isn't it a great feeling? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know, it's not just me. Okay. It's not like Play-Doh, no. I need more yellow. So, Andrew, do you want some more yellow? Maybe you got all my yellow. Maybe that's the issue. Okay. How many of you guys have ever played with slime? Oh, we got some hands raised. Yes. Now, when I was younger, we played with Silly Putty. And Silly Putty is a very different feeling. It's like a matte texture. This slime is not matte whatsoever. It is. It is goopy. Orange counts. Yeah, we're getting somewhere. I think I put a little bit too much yellow into mine. Maybe too little.
You can never have too much God.
Okay. We're getting there. Wait. Well, I need that to work. Yours is better. This is all warm. Mine was cold. Okay. I think this is close enough. Maybe. You'll work on that? Okay, yeah. Okay, so what color, that's the real question. What color is this? Is this still purple and yellow?
No.
No? Yeah, it is orange is pink, right? It is like peachy. That's a good description. So we got peachy over here. Now, can I separate this back into purple and yellow? No. They are combined. Very well. And so when we know Jesus, he takes that old person, right, the purple, and he makes us into something completely new. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, going back to Ephesians 2:4-9, which we read a little bit ago, did the purple slime make himself pink before he knew Jesus?
No.
No. He didn't do this, right? He didn't make this beautiful shade of peach. No. Now, what that would tell me is that I don't have to go and clean up to come to God. I don't have to go and change before I get to know God, because it's Jesus that causes me to change, right? He's what makes me into this pink slime. It's not me or my own strength. It's not me trying to be purple, and then I'm like, no, but I want to be pink. I want to be peach. That's not how that works. God's over here like, hey, add me, you get the pink. Now, Galatians 2:20 is such a cool verse. Oh my goodness. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So now that I know Jesus, I have his life in me. I am a new creation. I am this beautiful peachy color. And not only that, now that I know Jesus, I can never be separated from his love. It is impossible. Nothing in the world can ever separate me from the love that he has for me. Let's look back at Romans 8, 38 through 39, this time in the New King James Version. It says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. That's a lot of nors, y'all. He's listing out everything that he can think of in his brain, right? Nor any other created thing. So that's a caveat. There is nothing, anything that he did not list, still will not separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I stretch this, and just keep on stretching and keep on stretching, keep on stretching, keep on stretching. Hopefully I'm going to do this over the table so that it doesn't hit the carpet. If I just keep on stretching, is it ever going to go back to purple and yellow? If I just keep on putting all the pressure, all the different things, it's never going to go back to yellow and purple. I can never be separated, no matter what I do, how much pressure I have, whatever is done to me. Nothing is ever going to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 13:5, in the Amplified Classic, it says, for he, God, himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not, in any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. This is another verse that's telling you, hey, God's got you. He's not going to let you be separated from him. This is you. You are his best buddy. He's with you all the time, and you can't be separated from his love. Now, what is the love that God has for us? Well, let's establish one thing really, really quick. God is love. Let's look at 1 John 4:16. It says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. That's pretty clear. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now, that's cool. God is love. What is this love that he has? Because a lot of times people throw around the word like, love is love, all those different things and be like, okay, what is love? What is this magical word that everyone says? Like, what does it actually mean? Would you like to give it back to me? Ugh. That one's going in there. So it's in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 in the Amplified Classic. It gives a really nice description of what love is. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under everything and under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Does that sound like it lasts forever? Yeah. Verse 8 says, love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. This is the love that God has for us. He never gives up on us. He is patient and kind. He's there for us all the time. And guess what? It said that he doesn't pay attention to a suffered wrong. That means that he doesn't even take our sins and hold that against us. Because guess what? There's another verse that says, he forgets our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's pretty impressive. Now, is this love earned? Because if I were to earn this love, that means that I can maybe lose it if I just did something wrong and made it so that, hey, maybe God doesn't love me anymore because I did this bad thing. And now he just, no love for Brianna today. No. Romans 5, 6 through 11 states this very clearly. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." So God loved us so much that even when we were enemies, we were like not on good terms with him. We'd done everything. We didn't want him. Like, he died for the people that even crucified him. They were the ones that physically drove the nails in his hands, were going and cheering and being like, "Yes, he's dead. Woohoo!" And he still died for them. He still loved them no matter what. And they definitely did not deserve it. I definitely did not deserve it. None of us here deserved his love. But he gave it to us before we had done anything. So I didn't earn it. I didn't do enough good works to make it so that I'm at the top, and now Jesus loves me and I can go to heaven. I didn't earn it. So if I didn't earn it, I can't lose it. Because it was given to me unconditionally before I'd done anything. When I was still his enemy, he still gave it to me. He still said, "Hey, I love you. Now you have the choice to reject his love." That's what a lot of people do. But then you have the choice to accept his love. And then when you do, never separated from it ever in your life. It's the coolest thing. Lamentations 3:22 through 23 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning." God's love is always with us. It never leaves. Nothing that we can do can ever cause it to end. In Romans 8:38 through 39, it said, "Neither death nor life. Nothing's going to separate me. When I go and die, guess where I go? Heaven." Now, what is heaven? Exactly, where Jesus lives, right? I get to go be with Jesus. That's what heaven is. It's being, I'm not separated from God forever. Now, what happens if you go to hell? Does anyone know why you go to hell? Because you're separated from God. And to be separated from God means you're separated from life and love and all this wonderful thing that we just read about. And when you're separated from him, that's the worst place that you could ever be, is to be separated from him. And that's what hell is. But heaven is like, "Hey, I know God. He's my BFF. Actually, God's my father. Even better. And I'm going to go hang out with him forever. I'm never going to be separated from him no matter what happens in my life. I get to be like this. I'm not purple anymore. It's peachy colored." Exactly. That is who I am now. I am a child of God. I am never separated from his love. I am loved by the guy who created me. It's pretty cool. So, sometimes parents go and ask their kids, "Okay, what'd you learn in church today?" So if you were asked today, "What did you learn in church today, Brianna? What'd you learn in church today, Julia?" You could say, "When we became a Christian, by believing in Jesus, we became a new creation. I'm no longer purple. No longer purple. I'm now peachy." Right? I'm with Jesus. Yeah, it's pretty fun. Then, when we became a Christian, we're filled with God's love because God is love and Christ lives in me. So therefore, I'm filled with God's love. What's the third thing? Can anyone help me out here? Maybe it was in our memory verse. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yes. Nothing that we do, nothing that can be done to us, neither death nor life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So, super short for you guys today. We can end in prayer.